welcome back, everybody. What is going on?
Hi.
Shit, I forgot. I think I was going to do normal voice this episode.
You fucked.
Yeah, too late for that one. That'll have to be next episode. Because apparently this is just so damn ingrained, I can't help it.
This is you now.
Yeah, it's kind of...
This was me.
Yep, it's kind of like the fucking Little Nicky thing. Yeah, that was me before, but this is me now. Now get in the flask. Well, I think if I remember right, we actually had a couple of stories today. Well, story slash interesting history.
Yeah. Okay. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start.
So,
this is about a Japanese doomsday cult. Now, this is old, but I don't think I've ever heard of it. So, the chances are you guys might not have either. Guys, gals, everyone out there that listens. So, now, being this is from Japan, I'm probably going to butcher everything, so I apologize.
I'd laugh if you're like, I'm probably going to butcher and you just get everything perfectly right.
Right. That'd be insane.
You lied.
No one knew that I was one quarter Japanese. Yeah, right. Brother. So this is Am Shinrikyu, translated as Supreme Truth, had emerged in Japan in the 1980s under the leadership of Shoko Ashihara, born Chizo Matsumoto in 1955.
Wait, his name was Chizo?
Shizo. Well, oh. I mean, yeah, C-H-I-Z-U-O.
Chizo.
Chizio.
If I had that name, why would you change it? That's like the greatest name ever.
Again, I'm not Japanese, so I know I'm butchering these and I apologize, but I'm doing the best, all right?
I'm going to run under the assumption his name was Chizo.
Right. But so this person claimed to be a Masonic figure with supernatural powers and attracted many followers disillusioned with mainstream society. So the group's teachings were a blend of elements from different religions, going for like Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity, which to me is a really odd fucking mix.
Yeah.
Like how do you mix those three out of all of them together? But he was proclaiming himself as the one and only who could save humanity from the impending catastrophe. And they amassed considerable wealth through its businesses, including computer programming and, oddly enough, yoga classes.
Huh.
Yeah, again, kind of a weird thing to be incorporated with. But, I mean, I guess this is back in the day when, you know, now crime is quite a bit different.
Yeah, it's yoga and fucking computers.
Yeah. Yeah, like super legit businesses.
Okay.
So in the early 90s, the group's activities became increasingly controversial, with reports of abuse and brainwashing and illegal activities surfacing. However, it was the sarin gas attack on the Tokyo subway system on March 20th of 95 that brought global attention to them. So I remember hearing attack, but I didn't know it was a cult.
I didn't know much about the cult, but you brought that up, and I was like, I've heard of that part.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting.
Cheezer, why?
So during the attack, the members had released sarin nerve gas on several subway trains, resulting in the deaths of 13 people and injuring thousands. The attack shocked Japan and the world, leading to the widespread condemnation and massive crackdown on the group by Japanese authorities. So now, in the aftermath of all this, the cult and several high-ranking members were arrested and charged with various crimes, including murder and conspiracy. And the cult leader was found guilty and sentenced to death, along with several other key members.
Shit.
And then I guess they did even more, investigations and uncovered more illegal activities by the group, including other attempted chemical attacks and the murder of dissident members. So they did a rebranding in 2000 as Aleph, A-L-E-P-H, claiming to have renounced its violent past and embracing a more peaceful philosophy. However, the group remains under close surveillance by Japanese authorities, who continue to monitor its activities to prevent any resurgence of violence or criminal behavior.
So they're still around.
Yeah, they are still around, just rebranded with a different name and different philosophies, or so they say.
I don't buy it.
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, you probably do have some people that regret choices and what was done, but at the same time, others, or most of them, are so far gone in the brainwashing that what they're told is life.
So is Cheezer still alive, or did they kill him?
Well, I mean, he's the one that was sentenced to death, so, and that being this was before 2000s, so he was sentenced to death back in the 90s. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's dead. Japanese death row is very interesting.
What was his name again? Cheezer?
No. His born name was Chizio Matsumoto. And he was born in 1995. But his name for
Wait, the he was born in 1995?
Sorry, 55.
Okay, I was about to say, what the fuck? I was like, a baby was running that cult?
Yes. And his name for the Supreme Truth cult was Shoko Asahara.
Shoko Asahara?
Yes.
Nah, Chizio was a better name.
I can't wrap my head around like how they blended Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity. Like, those are, in my opinion, definitely polar opposites.
Okay, so I did some research on Shoko Asahara. Mm-hmm. Chizuo Matsumoto.
All right.
Born March 2nd, 1955.
Yep.
Died July 6th. You want to guess what year?
Well, the bombing happened in 95, so I'm going to say 97,
98. 97,
98?
Nope.
Yeah. 2018. Oh, damn. So yeah. He was on death row for a minute.
Yeah, he was sentenced to death in 2004.
Holy shit.
And
his
final appeal was 2011, and they scheduled his execution for 2012, but it was postponed due to the arrest of all members. So they moved him for like a while until they executed him in 2018.
Damn. So they were like, oh yeah, you know you're going to die. Yeah, but so they you don't know when, motherfucker.
Oh yeah, they executed him along with other senior members of the cult.
Damn, that's pretty brutal.
Dude, that's fucking wild.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you never, like I said, without doing this research, I never would have known that, one, they were a cult, or two, that they were fucking related to that.
Yeah, because I always heard of that bombing thing, but I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. I kind of want to see if I can find some more shit on him now.
Have you seen a picture of him?
No, you'll have to show me after this. I want to see him.
He looks like the sleepiest Jesus I've ever seen.
Oh, God.
He's got like resting, like sleepy face. He's like,
So he looks like perma high.
Yes, that's exactly what he looks like.
Like he is the one who never got not stoned.
Like if he looks like he ended every sentence with "man."
Oh yeah, come and join my cult, and I promise we'll make you rich, and you'll be godly, man.
You want to release toxic gases into the subway, man?
You know what'll happen, man? Is we'll stick it to the man. Yeah.
Fuck it, I'm gonna call him Cheezus.
There you go.
Jesus looked like he could fucking hacky sack.
Maybe.
That's crazy. I'm about to do some more research on that. That's fucking wild.
Yeah. Like I said, interesting history lessons. For those of you out there that know about it, that is awesome. But yeah, I didn't. And I will work the Telegram invite, hopefully, into this description, or this podcast episode's description. So keep an eye out for that one. So, what you got for me?
Yeah, my story's way shorter than that. So mine's less about like murder and crime, and mine's more like ghosty. Not scary ghosty, more like helpful ghosties.
Which helpful is always nice. Ghosty. I don't know how much I trust helpful ghosts.
Demon!
Yeah, it's like, you know, your theory with kids and ghosts.
Helpful ghosts are just demons?
Yep.
I don't think so. But all children are. All children ghosts are demons.
I mean, sometimes children are demons.
You're not wrong.
No, now I get to experience that every day with my little demons.
Oh, Jesus.
I love them, though.
Yeah, they outnumber you guys, too.
Yeah, they do.
Here I'm manned and outgunned.
If they decided to go full demonic, we'd be screwed.
Demon uprising?
Yep.
Yeah, so mine is more about a helpful ghost.
Let's hear about your real-life story of fucking Casper.
Fuck off. Casper wishes.
Right.
So mine doesn't take place in Japan. Mine takes place in Mexico.
Oh, nice, nice.
Okay, so my story is basically about the sir. His name was Ramon. He was like late 30s, early 40s. And he was like the grave digger, kind of like caretaker of like a graveyard in Mexico.
Yeah.
More specifically, I think it was in Matamoros. So Matamoros is basically like further in Mexico. And it's very dangerous. There's another story I eventually want to do about a satanic narco cult that ran out of Matamoros. But we'll come back to that later. That's a separate episode.
Oh, yeah. Definitely going to have to delve into that one.
So Don Ramon, well, not Don Ramon. I just call him Ramon. But he was a caretaker, and he like used to clean up like the graves, and he'd stick around throughout the day, and then he'd like help whoever needed help, like cleaning graves and all that, like helping him find like locations and stuff.
Right, right.
And then they'd give him like a couple like bucks or some shit. So you know how like U.S. dollars are worth more than Mexico dollars, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to refer to the Mexico peso as dollar. So just so you know that. So the story takes place in like 90s.
All right.
And yeah. Mid-90s again. So
gotta love the 90s.
So Ramon's kid got like really sick and he needed money for medicine.
Yeah.
And as you probably know, a lot of people in Mexico don't have a lot of money and there's not a lot of like well-paying jobs. So yeah. He would stick around and try to help people out. So he saw this old lady and she was like struggling to clean off a grave by herself, like sweep it. So he goes over and like he helps her out and like he's like, do you need help with anything? Like, do you need a job done or something? He's like, oh yeah, just please like sweep this tomb right here and like clean it up, like make it look nice, please.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh yeah, I got you. So he ended up doing that. And she ended up giving him $300, which is 300 pesos, which is like 30 bucks.
Yeah.
Is what he needed for the medicine. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. That helped me so much. And she's like, don't thank me. I didn't bring this to you. It's like, it's the dead. If you ever need like help from them or you need to like to ask them something or something like that, just light a candle for the dead and they'll help you. So every day after that, he'd light a candle and nothing would happen. He's like, I don't know why I'm still doing this. This is insane.
Yeah.
This is crazy. He's like, this old lady doesn't know what she's talking about.
I'm not seeing any results, goddammit.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So then he stopped for a while. He was like, they're not helping. They're not answering me. I wish I keep doing it. And then a couple years pass, and then his wife gets really, really, really sick. Like, at death's door, and he really needs medicine money, but again, he's poor. He needs about 500 pesos, which would be like 50-ish bucks.
Yeah.
But like I said, a lot of people in Mexico don't have money, and further you go in, the poorer people are. It's not a very balanced system there. So he's like, you know what? Fuck it. It doesn't hurt for me to like try it one more time. So he lights a candle and he leaves it there. And then he's just cleaning around and he's like, I'm going to stay like later because more people come during the night.
Yeah.
So he's cleaning and it's about like, I think it's like 2 or 3 in the morning. He just didn't want to go home. And he sees this young guy come up, like early 20s, dressed to the nine in like fucking gold necklaces, rings, like fancy like dress shirt, like nice cowboy boots and all that shit. And he has a cooler of beer under his arm. And he asked the guy to instruct him where a tomb's at. He's like, oh, it's over here. And the guy's like, do you need money? And the guy's like, yeah. He's like, what can I do? He's like, go clean these mausoleum over here. So just like, that's kind of like context. In Mexico, narco people, when they die, they build them like these giant fucking mausoleums. I think I've showed you before.
Yeah.
They're like mini apartments, have like Wi-Fi, like fucking air conditioning. So like when their families come down, they can stay there for a bit. So I told him, like, go clean this mausoleum for me real nice. It's like, make sure it's sparkling, it's clean, it smells nice and all that. The guy's like, all right, cool, I got you. So he goes, and the guy's just sitting there drinking beers, and they're talking and all that. And then the guy's like, Ramon's like, all right, well, I'm going to take off. I'm going to peace out. So he's just kind of shooting the shit, and he's going to take off. And then the guy's like, well, here's $1,000. Not $1,000 pesos, $1,000.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So he's like, here you go. He's like, thank you so much. I appreciate it. He's like, it looks beautiful, like better than I've ever seen it before. And he's like, all right, cool. And he takes off. And then he comes back the next day and his boss is mad. He's like, hey, Ramon. He's like, what time did you leave? He's like 2-3 in the morning. Why? He's like, somebody went into this tomb right here and there's like beer thrown all over the place. There's cans, there's cigarettes, like there's Coke. It was like, it's all right there. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, I thought you were supposed to be watching. It's like, I was here till like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And then the lady goes, she pulls out her phone. It's like, and then the boss says, was there anybody here? And the guy's like, yeah, there was like a younger kid, like early 20s. And Ramon describes him, like how he was dressed. And then you see like the lady that was there, like pale. She turns like fucking pale and like starts sweating. And she quickly goes into her purse and she pulls out her phone, starts scrolling through pictures. And she pulls out pictures like, is this what he looked like? And then he's like, yeah, yeah, that's him. That's the kid. And then she goes, this is my son. He died 3 years ago. And that mausoleum right there, that's his mausoleum. So basically the story is how a ghost gave this guy money.
Huh.
Light a candle for the dead.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, sometimes your beliefs can get you kind of far. Maybe not necessarily monetarily far like that, but...
Yeah, but it's wild to think about, like, there's stories where people, like, they've interacted with ghosts and they don't even know until, like, later on. Like, vivid.
Well, what is it? Like, the video that went around on YouTube, it's a Mexican mechanic. And his boss is watching surveillance video with him and he's having a conversation, but yeah. There's no one there. And he's talking about a car that he's working on, and he ends up, his boss radios down to him, like, hey, what are you doing? Or calls him, and he, you know, you can see him moving and going, like, oh, I'm talking to this guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, he's the one who died in this car accident, like, you're fixing his car.
Shit.
And he looks around, and, yeah, it freaked him the fuck out, because then that guy wasn't there.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Why is it always Mexico?
That or Japan.
Oh, yeah.
They always have the trippiest fucking
ghosts. There's got to be some kind of, like, thin spiritual line there that allows, like, so much shit to go on.
Right. Well, I mean, I believe people in other countries as well are a lot more spiritual than we are. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, yeah, we have people that, you know, will say they're religious, but that's really only jumping on the bandwagon of saying, hey, I'm part of this group.
Yeah.
It's not like other places where faith is basically put into them from, yeah, you know, when they're basically born, but it's done in a way where it's friendly and not kind of, oh yeah, this is what you're doing, this is what you're gonna do, and you're gonna fucking lack it type thing.
Yeah, like there's more forms of like different spirituality in those religions.
Yeah, most definitely.
Well, not religions and cultures, because like Spanish, they have like Santería, Palomayombe, like Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Christianity, it goes deep. Like the same thing for, like, you could be said for anything, but they have like a deeper respect for the spirits.
Yeah, which is a good thing. I mean, we all should.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people, you know, that are like, well, I'm fucking, my name's Toby, I'm gonna fuck with this ghost today.
Right.
That ghost suck my ass. It's shit like that that's really annoying, because you see people like, oh well, I could actually want to help. Like this family that's being terrorized by this ghost. Oh, it's not actually like terrorizing them. It's like a loved one trying to help you out.
Yeah.
And you gotta fucking, yeah, suck my ass. I come fight. I don't know. I'm stuck on suck my ass ghost. Like fucking fight me, ghost. Show yourself.
If you don't, you're just a coward and you deserve to die again.
Like, you're right. A ghost, bitch.
It's like, all right, Toby, whatever. Go back under your rock.
I felt a breeze.
No, the someone just passed wind in your direction.
Yeah, but like if you watch like ghost hunting shows in like Spanish, they're like a lot more respectful about that. They're like, we're going into this place. You have to be very respectful. Don't taunt anything. Like, don't challenge it. Just if it's going to appear to you, it's going to appear to you. And a lot of times, shit starts popping off.
Yeah, I think at least any non-malevolent spirits will probably have a better reaction towards good reactions than, you know, shit talking.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I did notice in, what is it, Japanese and like Asian ghost hunting videos, like their thing is talking shit, but it's not out of disrespect. It's just their reaction.
I've seen that.
Like it's
your mother bitch. Your mother bitch ghost. I was like, Jesus.
They run after him like it's insane.
Oh, shit, yeah. They're getting like shit thrown at them and they're like, what happened? Why? What is this? I don't know what happened. What did I do?
And then they run over in the direction.
Yeah, you fucked around and you found out. That's what happened.
Right.
So nobody's fucking stupid enough to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or who knows? It could be brave enough for them.
Is it?
It all depends on your definition of brave.
They're fucking dumb is what they are.
But you know what? I believe that's all we have for you folks today.
Yes, sir. It was a little bit of a shorter episode, but we kept it nice and sweet.
Yes, so hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Again, I will put the Telegram in, so join in there. Notifications and all that shit work a hell of a lot better on there, so that's why the switch.
But yep. Remember, guys, light a candle for your ghost, toss a coin to your witcher, and we will see you next time in Helheim.
Bye!